Rosoro is still the king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it an excellent defender of grain quality and yield, and the enemy of both head and leaf diseases. When your goal is better grain quality and even higher yields, use Prosoro fungicide at its recommended high rate of 8.2 fluid ounces per acre, and the crown of higher profit could be yours. Learn more at Prosoro.us. Check with your state pesticide regulatory agency for specific restrictions in your state. Always read and follow pesticide label directions.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. North Dakota Corn Council studio, back in the studio today. And we head down to South Dakota State University. Paul Johnson joins us. He is Mr. Weeds in South Dakota. Well, the weed specialist at the SDSU Agronomy. So how are you doing today, Paul?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned before the break, no matter how cool or dry or hot or cold it is, and we've had all kinds of weather this spring, the weeds just seem to keep on coming. Like the hits, the weeds keep on coming.
Well, yeah, they can survive in a lot of different conditions. And you know, out in the fields, the coach is already doing well. And if we go closer to town, the dandelions are doing real good, too.
Well, so what is the, I guess, let's talk about the fields, the agronomy aspect first, and then we'll get to the dandelions because they're a problem in the country too. But what do you see as far as the biggest issue when it comes to pre-emerge, which I guess that's what we're still dealing with?
Yeah, we like to use the pre-emerge on to give us some residual, because most of our post-emergence products just really are to take out the weeds that are there at the time, and the ones that germinate and come the next day, they'll leave. And our pre-emergents have residual and buy us time until we can get that crop up and doing good, and then maybe we got to do a little cleanup following. But we're always concerned in these years that are appearing to be drier, because those pre-emergence herbicides, in order for those to work and do their thing really good, need anywhere from a third to three-quarter inch of moisture to get them activated.
And in many cases, especially the further west you go, that hasn't happened.
No, and that's the concern. And as we get more into our no-till areas and our areas that are a little sparser for moisture, a lot of times our producers are putting those pre-emergents on as an early pre-emergence just to make sure we're getting that moisture for them. And some have did that. Some are holding off this year because it's being so dry.
What weeds do you see are major problems this spring across South Dakota?
Well, they're just all getting started, and that's why we'd like to get our pre-emergence on before they get started, or else we need to put a burn down with them. But kochia is the one, you know, the minute the snowbank is gone, I always say you can find kochia right under the snowbank, because yeah, it comes on so early in the spring, and that just little fuzzy plant there. You know, we had those conditions really cold here a couple weeks ago, and the coach just kind of smiled as those conditions went through and survived through it. And where some of our other weeds may have gotten actually nipped a little bit in some of those cold conditions.
Well, what other than kochia, is water hemp and some of the other pigweeds, are they frost tolerant also?
Not near as much.
Oh,
most
good.
Of those go out pretty easy, but they also don't come on as soon either. They kind of know that, well, we don't want to get frosted, so we're going to wait until those soil temperatures get up around 50 degrees or so before we start germinating.
What are the weeds that seem to, every time we get a rain, we get a flush of new growth of weeds? Which weeds are in that category?
Well, the water hemp, the Palmer amaranth, and also the velvet leaf are our three common weeds here in the Midwest that have that ability, that every time we get a rain all summer long, If there's bare ground and it's not shaded, we'll get a new flush.
So, I guess what in that weed management strategy, how do we approach that? I mean, every time, when the crop gets tall or we got canopy closure on soybeans, well, we can't get out there and kill those weeds after a rain late July and August.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We need to make sure that's where the pre-emergence or the residual products, and some people are even layering their residual products. Now they'll put some on at planting time, and then later on when they're doing a post-emergence, they will add some more residual in order to make sure when it does get later and there might be some, you know, there's always a place that maybe gets drowned out in a field or for some reason the stand isn't perfect, so they don't have weeds coming up in those areas.
What's the level of atrazine use in South Dakota yet?
Well, most of the atrazine used in South Dakota is very low rates. We see a half pound up to about a pound is the main thing using, unless somebody's going corn on corn. And that's just used for broadleaf weed control. Does a real good job, and it's very economical. And so consequently, atrazine is very important in our toolbox.
Well, for sure. All right. And is it widely available, like some of the other fertilizers and other crop inputs this spring?
Yeah, atrazine is widely available. Actually, the word out there, there's about three things that could be kind of hard to come by this year. The 2,4-D products are running scarce. And there's also talk later on we might see the glyphosate or Roundup type products or the glufosinate and Liberty type products be kind of in tight supply.
Interesting. All right. Well, get them on order or find somebody who's got them. I guess, is there any plan B for some of the Liberty products?
Well, the thing is, you have to look at what your crops allow you to use. And, the Liberty products, there's a lot of generics out there, and we're hoping that this doesn't develop, but there has been some talk of it. Those real cold temperatures in Texas down in the middle of the winter stop some of our production of chemicals, and consequently, that's part of the reason why we're not having as much available this year.
Okay, all right. Only got about a minute or so to go here, Paul. Same question asked on atrazine. How about dicamba this year? Is it going to be widespread or a little less than years past?
Well, there's going to be less than years past. I mean, the amount used, just because of the over-the-top business, a bunch of counties in southeastern North Dakota and northeastern South Dakota now are in the have some endangered species that people have to be aware of if they're using the dicamba. And so they want to read their label and make sure it's okay for them to use the product where they want. If they've got those counties, I know it's the 10 northeast counties in South Dakota, and I don't know how many, it's about that many in the North Dakota, but those counties put on some real restrictions on how dicamba can be used.
Yeah, I think there's seven in North Dakota, but the manufacturers have a map, interactive map, which you can click on for that.
Right.
Okay, Paul Johnson, South Dakota State University Extension Weed Science Coordinator. Thank you for the visit. Hey, weeds are always an issue, so we'll be talking to you regularly during the growing season, Paul.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you much.